meaningful remark, he bade farewell to the world. Many attended his funeral and accompanied him to his final resting place next to Masjid Shah in Lahore. On his deathbed, Allama composed this song. Does a song gone come back again? No, 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 no. Does a breeze come from Hijaz? No, no, no. There finally came to an end all those days of poverty. Does a Gnostic come back a second time? No, no, no. Allama's thoughts and philosophy will remain with us forever, only if we follow him.
Iqbal was a significant voice in the traumatic history of colonized India. His sensitivity to the plight of his people was sharpened both by his understanding of his roots and his adaptability to the demands of the new colonized world. Politics and philosophy were combined in Iqbal's poetry. Perhaps today, Iqbal's anti-colonial stance can be referred to as neo-colonialism is still plaguing the world. And that's it for this week's program. Until next week and another Aperture, it's goodbye.
Your option, our task. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio. In the limelight.
Rather than demand an immediate ceasefire, the Biden administration is actively working to further provide cover for the Zionist regime's atrocities in Gaza. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East I wrote, a few days ago, as the Zionist regime plunged Gaza into darkness by cutting off food, water, electricity, fuel, medical supplies, and more amid non-stop Israeli regime airstrikes and shelling, Mohammad Abu Rokbe, senior Gaza field researcher at Defense for Children International, Palestine, DCIP, wrote and shared an account of his day. As Muhammad took his wife and four young children from place to place, seeking somewhere safe, Palestinian civil defense teams were recovering a woman's body in pieces from the rubble of a building on the street they walked along. Despite Muhammad's attempt to shield this horrific scene from his children's eyes, they saw and they screamed. His 10-year-old son, Karam, was completely frozen, unable to walk. Knowing they must continue moving in search of somewhere safe, Muhammad picked up Karam and carried him. That one moment could lead to years of psychological trauma for any child. But for children in Gaza, That moment was just one of a seemingly never-ending list of traumas unleashed by the Zionist regime. In Gaza, where the Zionist regime forces have killed thousands of Palestinian children in little more than a week, injured even more, and displaced hundreds of thousands, not a single child is safe right now. To say that the world has failed Palestinian children is a colossal understatement. Most of the world leaders led by the United States and the European Union have allowed and enabled Israeli regime forces to kill, injure, torture, and detain Palestinian children with complete impunity for decades. Palestinian children in Gaza have lived 16 years under Israeli regime siege, where children with cancer must obtain a permit to seek medical care outside of Gaza, and where the Zionist regime controls every item and person that enters and leaves. This is the reality in Gaza that the West has allowed Israeli regime authorities to enact. And then, of course, there are bombs. In less than a week, the Zionist regime forces have dropped more than 6,000 bombs on the Gaza Strip, or about one every 30 seconds. The Zionist regime airstrikes, shells, and white phosphorus have practically been invited by U.S. President Joe Biden, who has repeatedly expressed the U.S. unwavering support for the regime of Israel, indicating that the Biden administration would back whatever Zionist regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his military do next. Rather than demand an immediate ceasefire, as the Zionist regime forces destroy Palestinian civilian life in Gaza, the Biden administration is actively working to further provide cover for Israeli regime forces by discouraging U.S. diplomats from publicly saying the terms de-escalation, ceasefire, end to violence, bloodshed, and restoring calm. At DCIP, we are sounding the alarm for genocide. The Zionist regime forces and authorities have made their intentions clear to carry out a second Nakba and completely eradicate the Palestinian people. They are bombing whole city blocks, wiping entire families from civil register, and cutting off electricity, fuel, and water from hospitals providing life-saving care. Under international law, genocide is prohibited and constitutes the deliberate killing of a large number of people from a particular nation or ethnic group with the aim of destroying that nation or group in whole or in part. Genocide can result from killing or by creating conditions of life that are so unbearable it brings about the group's destruction. There are already over 1,000 Palestinian children in Gaza killed during this Israeli regime military offensive. In barely more than a week, Israeli regime forces have obliterated twice as many children as in 2014, when they killed at least 535 Palestinian children over 50 days. Countless more are injured and missing, and surely there are even more children and their families under the rubble whose names we may never know. The Palestinian children who have so far survived the Zionist regime's latest brutal assault on Palestinians in Gaza have left their homes searching for somewhere, not in ruins, to wait out the bombs. But even their parents cannot keep them safe. Try as they might to shield their children from the carnage. Instead, all they can do is pick them up and try to stay alive. No matter what Israeli regime forces do next, Palestinian children have already paid the price, and the U.S. and the international community are complicit in the Zionist regime's campaign of genocide against the Palestinian people in Gaza. According to Truth Out, the Rome Statute provides that an individual can be convicted of genocide in the ICC if he or she aids, abets, or otherwise assists in the commission or attempts commission of genocide, which includes providing the means for its commission. In addition to $3.8 billion a year, the U.S. furnishes the Zionist regime for military assistance. The Biden administration is sending overwhelming firepower and providing diplomatic cover for the Zionist regime's war on the Palestinian people. One U.S. aircraft carrier with the strike group is already in the Eastern Mediterranean, and a second one is headed there now. Three Marine warships carrying thousands of Marines are en route to the area. U.S. Special Operations Forces are helping the Israeli regime military with planning and intelligence. War Secretary of the United States, Lloyd Austin, ordered 2,000 U.S. forces, which will likely include Air Force and Army personnel, to prepare for deployment. And U.S. President Joe Biden has never condemned the Zionist regime's indiscriminate killing, starvation, and ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians in Gaza.
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Since the beginning of the latest spate of violence between Israel and Palestinian resistance fighters in the Gaza Strip, Western countries and the U.S. in particular have voiced their unequivocal support for Israel and ignored the legitimate rights of the Palestinian people. The U.S. President Joe Biden visited Israel on Wednesday amid an intensified Israeli campaign of airstrikes on Gaza, the most densely populated strip of land in the world, which has killed thousands of Palestinians, injuring over 13,000. Biden has unequivocally defended the Israeli regime's ongoing genocide in the coastal Gaza Strip. Biden said Washington would provide the embattled regime with everything it needed to, quote, defend itself.
For decades, we've ensured Israel's qualitative military edge. And later this week, I'm going to ask the United States Congress for an unprecedented support package for Israel's defense.
The U.S. president promised to ask Congress for an unprecedented military aid package for Israel to assist its ongoing war on Gaza. Reports indicated that Biden was considering a supplemental request of about $10 billion for Israel. It is now feared that the U.S. President Joe Biden's unflinching backing of Israeli aggression against Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip could give the Tel Aviv regime the green light to commit mass atrocities and genocide against the people of Palestine. It is now reported that Joe Biden has told Israeli Prime Minister that Washington is fully in support of Tel Aviv's plans to launch a ground invasion of the besieged Gaza Strip. Earlier this week, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, highlighted the role of the U.S. in Israel's ongoing atrocities against the Palestinian people. Ayatollah Khamenei noted that numerous pieces of information suggest that the U.S. is formulating the current policy within the Zionist regime. The U.S. was the sole vote against the resolution on Wednesday. Reports say the Pentagon, if need be, will deploy virtually 2,000 troops to Israel to assist the occupying regime with its war on the besieged Gaza Strip. The boots on the ground are said to be tasked with providing advisory and medical support only. The specifics, the where and when of the deployment, remain unclear. The report comes after the Pentagon said it was moving another carrier group to the Mediterranean, the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower Strike Group. Combined force of more than 5,000 sailors will join the USS Gerald Ford, which arrived off the coast of Israel last week. The Biden administration has rejected Arab calls for de-escalation or ceasefire, rendering the U.S. complicit in present and future Israeli war crimes. There's been hardly any American mention of the Palestinians' plight during a week of vicious Israeli bombardment of Gaza. For years, polls have highlighted the overwhelming Arab support for Palestine as the foremost Arab cause, and the growing hostility towards America, which is seen as a destabilizing hegemonic force in the region.
There is the possibility that if the war really widens not only to include Gaza, but maybe the West Bank, that it will not only alienate Arab allies, but could potentially lead to a breaking of relations with Israel.
First of all, Biden is unwelcome here because he has a major role in this game, a major role in the aggression on our people, and he is providing the money and weapons to kill our people in Gaza and everywhere.
The long history of U.S. military aid to Israel has helped the regime develop its military prowess, and it continues to represent a significant share of Israel's military budget. Currently, Israel receives $3.8 billion in military aid from the U.S. annually, under a memorandum signed in 2019.
Instead, what we have seen is that Israel has been allowed to do whatever it wants when it comes to killing Palestinians, when it comes to stealing Palestinian land, when it comes to ethnic cleansing, when it comes to crossing the red lines that are enshrined in international law. Israel's allowed to get away with it, and not only get away with it, but continues to receive support and financial support from the United States as well.
That accounted for about 16% of Israel's total military budget in 2022. The U.S. has strong historical and economic ties to Israel. The U.S. is Israel's top trading partner, with annual bilateral trade of nearly $50 billion in goods and services. Unprecedented admission. An Israeli official admitting that war crimes will be committed in the face of the international community and the world. War crime number one, referring to Palestinians as human shields that need to be killed. War crime number two, a complete siege of the Gaza Strip, no water, food, or electricity. And war crime number three, the forced displacement of Palestinians. The Israeli Minister of Military Affairs, true to his word, has closed off the Strip completely, while the bloodshed continued. Palestinians have been slaughtered and murdered, especially children. But Israeli anti-Palestinian sentiment has even gone beyond hatred, if that is even possible. Take Zippy Navan, a close advisor to Netanyahu's wife. She posted outrageous remarks on Facebook, saying that it was not enough to flatten Gaza. She said the culprits should be captured and tortured one by one by pulling out their nails and skinning them alive. Her reference was to the false reports that resistance fighters from Hamas had committed those crimes, part of the disinformation campaign that Western media had reported.
Soldiers told me they believe 40 babies, children, were killed.
The Israeli Prime Minister's spokesman just confirmed babies and toddlers were found with their heads decapitated in Kfar Aza.
The lie was so severe that it had forced apologies, like U.S. media giant CNN and its presenter. What is significant here is not the apology, not that it does not matter, but the source of the fake news, that it was the office of the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu who had distributed the fake news. The Israeli war on Gaza has risked throwing the region into a war to open several fronts: Hezbollah and resistance groups in Lebanon, Iraq's Kataib Hezbollah, Yemeni fighters, and also Syria, all possibilities. And Iran. Hossein Salami, the commander-in-chief of the IRGC, relayed his views on Hamas' fighting capacity. Today, according to everyone's admission, the Zionist regime has not only suffered defeat, but also humiliation. And Hamas alone, and without relying on any other power, has caused them a great defeat. Iran and Hezbollah are formidable forces, which Israel cannot deal with simultaneously. Israel knows that, and so does Iran. But Israel has to contend with another front, one that may continue beyond the war, and that is the possibility of a civil war within the occupied Palestinian territories. Palestinian deaths in the OPT have increased dramatically since the operation broke out, with over 50 Palestinians killed so far. Moreover, the Israeli regime forces have increased the number of Palestinians it has detained, that number standing at around 70, all of this in a matter of 10 days. Meanwhile, the Israeli far-right minister Itamar Ben-Gvir has encouraged Israelis and settlers to pick up arms against Palestinians, as seen here. He's also directed the purchase of more than 10,000 firearms and weapons for around 26,000 Israeli settlers. This points to how this war will extend inside the OPT, to last even longer than the war on Gaza, thus posing an existential threat to Israel. How the war ends and in what state Israel will be left in is not known. But there's another factor that Israel has to worry about, and it's the economy. It has become increasingly clear that the Israeli economy will have a tough time surviving. The devaluation of the shekel, massive investment and capital flight, mass exodus of people, and a rising deficit are all plaguing the economy. The Israeli Central Bank has been forced to withdraw $30 billion from its foreign exchange reserves to prop up the war expenses. Even Israel's Knesset cannot hold a meeting. This session had to be broken up as Knesset lawmakers went for cover while resistance missiles were raining down overhead. So while Israel may claim parts of the Gaza Strip have turned into rubble, Israel itself has suffered the same, all out of its own doing. Scenes out of the Gaza Strip are nothing short than a massacre. The hospital there is on its last breath, like the patients. Meanwhile, the Israeli military has ordered the evacuation of more than 1 million people from northern Gaza to, quote, temporarily move south to mitigate civilian harm. The UN has condemned this move, warning against devastating humanitarian consequences, warning that the evacuation was simply not possible.
Moving more than 1 million people across a densely populated war zone to a place with no food, water, or accommodation when the entire territory is under siege is extremely dangerous and in some cases simply not possible.
The Palestinian UN envoy had harsher words, urging the UN chief to stop Israel's crimes against humanity.
Stop this carnage of civilians.
Israel's UN ambassador, meanwhile, criticized the UN response to Israel's warning. The UN should be praising Israel for these precautionary actions, he said. For years, the UN has put its head in the sand in the face of Hamas's terror buildup in Gaza. This coming from a regime that has never heeded any UN resolutions, or international law for that matter, and has been called a child killer. The stats here speak for themselves.
More than 150,000 Palestinian civilians have been killed or injured in Gaza and the West Bank since 2008. 33,000 of those were children.
This is what Israel has in mind. The creation of two evacuation routes to the south of Barakah, which Israel has said will not be the target of Israeli attacks. Hamas has rejected that outright. There are fears that Israel is trying to bring people to the streets with the aim of creating gatherings and then taking casualties, something it has done in previous wars. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, it is reported that the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, is negotiating with Persian Gulf Arab countries to convince them to accept the residents of the Gaza Strip. He has said that it is because the Israeli army is getting ready to raise Gaza to the ground. The expression to raise to the ground is one that Blinken used exactly. The plan is to transfer 1 million citizens to Egypt and then distribute them to Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates. What Israel has in mind is to prepare for a block-by-block warfare in Gaza. Israel has already stated that the goal is to destroy Hamas, disregarding the human costs, which may include the ones in captivity. And that includes Israeli soldiers' lives as well. The resistance fighters can use their tunnel network to get in behind the attack or to attack in all directions, to make it very difficult for Israel to effectively have an advantage. At the end, the U.S. and a U.S.-supported coalition will help Israel demolish the Gaza Strip, which the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has stated. The U.S. would do that through its aircraft carrier, the Gerald Ford, along with the U.K., who has sent surveillance aircraft. But not so fast. Hamas itself has plenty of firepower left in its arsenal, from drones to missiles and its fighters. And there are other players in this battle as well, who are willing and even more able to defeat the enemy forces. Hezbollah and a squadron of fighters, for one, who has said that it would act when deemed necessary. Israel's ultimate goal is a greater Israel. One needs to look at where the American forces are located, from the west of Iraq on the Euphrates border and east of the Euphrates of Syria. But if it comes down to that, there is one formidable force standing in their way, the Islamic Republic of Iran. The European Union has asked Elon Musk to censor information not conforming to the Western narrative over Israel's war of aggression against Palestinians in Gaza. The EU called on Musk, the billionaire owner of the social media website X, formerly known as Twitter, to curb the spread of what it called disinformation about Israel's aggression against Palestinians. In a letter to Musk shared on social media, EU industry chief Thierry Breton claimed that he had indications that X was purportedly being employed to disseminate what he called illegal content and disinformation in the European bloc. The criticism directed at X social media platform is part of a multi-front information war designed to control the narrative around anything surrounding the Palestinian issue and the latest anti-occupation operation. Palestinian support in the West is at an all-time high, despite Western leaders coming out in the open in defense of the Israeli regime and its relentless and indiscriminate aggression against Palestinians. In France, which prides itself for so-called freedom of expression, police attacked a pro-Palestine demonstration.
It's a shame that France is authorizing the protests in favor of Israel, but forbidding the protests for Palestine, arguing that they pose a security problem. They just can put some policemen and they will see that things will go well. We have the right to show solidarity with people who have been suffering oppression for a long time. This has to stop. Stop hypocrisy. Stop.
Western leaders and their media cronies have come out in unison to toe the same false narrative that the Hamas operation was unprovoked and that the Israeli regime is justified in attacking Palestinians. But they fail to mention the unbearable situation that Israel has created for Palestinians, both in Gaza and the occupied West Bank.
Also, this is just part of colonization. This is the last phase of European colonization. And notice that the countries that are most strongly in support of Israel are not just the United States. It's the United States, Australia, and Canada, the offshoots of England, Anglosphere sometimes called, unusual forms of imperialism. These are settler colonial societies.
Your option for today and a better tomorrow. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
IRIB English Radio.
The Limelight.
China has announced that its Belt and Road Initiative BRI infrastructure project has generated $2 trillion in contracts, signaling the mega project's success and popularity around the world. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to Global Times, the Belt and Road CEO Conference was held on October 17th, which is an opening event of the Third Belt and Road Forum for International Cooperation, BRF. With participation from over 80 countries and regions, including over 20 minister-level officials, more than 30 heads of foreign business associations, and nearly 60 representatives from Fortune Global 500 companies, the conference had over 1,200 attendees. The event has yielded remarkable achievements, whether it's the number of projects, the countries involved, or the contracted amount, they all exceeded the previous CEO conference. The conference issued the Belt and Road CEO Conference Beijing Declaration, emphasizing five key points: a commitment to open cooperation, deepening connectivity, promoting green development, advancing digital economic cooperation, and adhering to compliance and fulfilling social responsibilities. These points represent the consensus of entrepreneurs from various countries attending the conference. They not only reflect the representative spirit and principles of entrepreneurs in jointly building the Belt and Road Initiative BRI, but also provide a specific direction for future collective efforts. Against the backdrop of deliberate disruptions to the global industrial and supply chain systems, this declaration stands as a consensus statement from the global business community, demonstrating confidence in unity and cooperation and sending out a strong message of our time. The business community is a participant, contributor, and driving force in the BRI development. The enthusiasm of enterprises largely reflects the appeal and attraction of the BRI. The CEO Conference, as an innovative initiative of the second BRF in 2019, has provided a more vibrant platform for connecting and negotiating between Chinese and foreign enterprises. Recently, nearly 300 Chinese and foreign representatives signed agreements covering various fields such as infrastructure, clean energy, artificial intelligence, biomedicine, financial services, modern agriculture, and rail transportation. Enterprises will continue to play a crucial role in the BRI in the future. The BRI cooperation provides many entrepreneurs with opportunities and platforms to showcase their abilities. The Belt and Road CEO Conference called for more entrepreneurs to participate in the construction of this path of opportunities and prosperity, benefiting the world while achieving their own greater development. In addition to the Belt and Road CEO Conference, the Jakarta-Bandung high-speed railway officially began operations, marking Indonesia's entry into the era of high-speed rail. Chinese railway manufacturer CRRC Corp. also signed an agreement with Serbia's Transport and Infrastructure Ministry in Beijing to sell high-speed rail carriages to Serbia. The birth and implementation of these cooperative projects are inseparable from the nurturing of the BRI and the dedication of numerous enterprise builders. As Chinese President Xi Jinping emphasized when addressing a welcome banquet for guests attending the third Belt and Road Forum for International Cooperation, the achievements of Belt and Road Cooperation are neither a windfall nor made with others' almsgiving and charity, but are earned by governments and enterprises and the peoples of participating countries with their diligence, wisdom, and courage. Enterprises are the most active cells in the development of debris. As debris involves so many countries and faces different cultural customs, legal systems, and levels of development, the entrepreneurial spirit of building the Belt and Road must be open and inclusive. It is essential to respect local culture, abide by local laws and regulations, pursue win-win cooperation, and demonstrate a strong sense of social responsibility in serving the local people. At the same time, building the Belt and Road is also a process of extending economic globalization to a global scale. During this process, larger-scale world-class international enterprises will inevitably emerge or be created. Seizing the opportunity can lead to development and growth, and some enterprises may even achieve great accomplishments. Both enterprises and entrepreneurs need to have sufficient imagination to contribute to the success of debris. Debris originated from China but belongs to the whole world. With the advancement of the high-quality construction of debris, more enterprises from participating countries as well as other countries have jointly constructed a more diverse and vibrant economic ecosystem for the Belt and Road. The foundation and the directions established for BRIC cooperation over the past decade have increased the confidence of the business community, and the potential that debris may create in the future has ignited the passion of visionary entrepreneurs. Although there may be obstacles ahead, it will undoubtedly witness the blooming of more flowers. China Daily also wrote in this regard, "The Belt and Road Initiative, as it advances, will consistently yield substantial cooperation, investment, and growth opportunities for businesses on a global scale." And that is what senior government officials and business executives have recently said. Speaking at the Belt and Road CEO Conference of the Third Belt and Road Forum for International Cooperation in Beijing, they said that through such collaboration, Chinese and foreign companies can enhance their research capabilities, embrace cutting-edge technology, and refine their application expertise. These activities can potentially reshape their growth trajectory and play a pivotal role in fostering sustainable economic development. Vice Premier He Lifeng said at the conference that China is willing to expand mutual market access with countries involved in the BRI, create more trade cooperation platforms, build up a diversified financing system, deepen production capacity cooperation, and expand two-way investment. The vice premier stressed that China encourages businesses from all participating countries to actively promote cooperation in areas such as big data, artificial intelligence, and new energy. This will drive the development of BRI toward a greener, healthier, and more intelligent direction.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
In this program, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a part of a speech delivered by Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the veterans from the Sacred Defense and the Resistance Field. This meeting was held in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya on September 20, 2023, inaugurating Sacred Defense Week. What I would like to say is that the event of the Sacred Defense is a prominent, important period in our country's history. In terms of achievements, there are not limited to just a couple of achievements. If someone were to look into the achievements of the Sacred Defense, they could write tens of volumes of a book in the field. Another achievement of the Sacred Defense was that it expanded our frontiers. I am not speaking of geographical borders. We did not seek to expand our geographical borders, neither at that time nor now. We are not seeking to expand our geographical borders. The Sacred Defense expanded our other frontiers, such as the frontier of resistance. This is an example. Today, the concept of resistance and the element of resistance is an established element. There is resistance in Palestine, there is resistance in West Asia, and there is resistance in various other countries. There is resistance in Iraq. There is resistance in Iran and in various places.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The Sacred Defense raised and promoted the idea of resistance around the world. It established resistance in many parts of the world. We ourselves may find it hard to believe that the actions of the Iranian nation have had such an impact in distant countries. But they have had such an impact. We have information about this. I do not wish to name the countries. A large number of the Iranian nation's activities have served as a model for many people in the East, in Asia, in Africa, and also in Latin America. This is what expanding frontiers means. Our intellectual and cognitive borders have been expanded. This is a nation's greatest success to be able to expand its own culture, understanding, knowledge, and wishes in the world. This mainly took place by the way of the Sacred Defense. The 8 years of the Sacred Defense worked miracles in this aspect. It spread the culture of self-reliance.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all.
Think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
In the U.S., House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer said his panel has uncovered evidence that Joe Biden in 2018 received a $200,000 direct payment from his brother James Biden and sister-in-law Sarah Biden, and is demanding the president answer questions about the payment. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Stay with us. The national broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. House Republicans released bank records of President Biden's brother, James Biden, on Friday, 20th of October, that they argue raise more questions about whether President Biden personally benefited from his family's business ventures. Bank records released by the GOP-led House Committee on Oversight and Accountability revealed a $200,000 personal check paid to Joe Biden from his brother James Biden and sister-in-law Sarah Biden. The personal check, which was labeled a loan repayment, was issued before Biden's presidency on the same date in 2018 when AmeriCorps Health LLC, a healthcare company that manages rural hospitals across the United States, also wired a $200,000 loan into James Biden's PNC bank account. In video remarks posted to X, Representative James Comer, the Republican chairman of the House Oversight and Accountability Committee, claimed Joe Biden's ability to be paid back by his brother depended on the success of his family's shady financial dealings. In a bankruptcy filing last year, AmeriCorps Health LLC claimed James Biden received hundreds of thousands of dollars in loans from the company on the promise that his last name could open doors and that he could obtain a large investment from the Middle East based on his political connections. After AmeriCorps Health LLC later filed suit for non-payment, James Biden agreed to a settlement payment with AmeriCorps for $350,000. James Biden's attorney took issue with the way the Republican-led panel has described the check. The Oversight Committee's description of the $200,000 check is highly selective and misleading, said Paul Fishman, attorney for James Biden. The committee has the bank documents that show both the loan Jim received from his brother in January of 2018 and the repayment by check 6 weeks later. At no time did Jim involve his brother in any of his business relationships. This latest document release comes after Representative James Comer pledged to continue to follow the money in his investigation into the Biden family's businesses, even as the House remains in disarray without an elected speaker for over 2 weeks. Shortly after Representative Kevin McCarthy was ousted as Speaker of the House, James Comer asserted the Oversight Committee would continue to read emails, text messages, put together timelines trying to get people to come in. In September, the Oversight Committee said it had uncovered how the Bidens and their associates created over 20 shell companies, most of which were created when Joe Biden was vice president, and raked in over $24 million between 2014 and 2019. Adding committee investigators had identified 9 members of the Biden family who have participated in or benefited from these business schemes. President Biden was not among those named by the committee. The House of Representatives remained paralyzed, and Republicans, who are in the majority, are back to square one after dropping Jim Jordan as their speaker nominee following his third failed attempt to win the speakership on Friday, 20th of October. Republicans will try again to settle on a candidate on Monday, nearly 3 weeks after Representative Kevin McCarthy first lost his speakership earlier this month. Fox News Channel has also covered the same story. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer said his panel has uncovered evidence that Joe Biden in 2018 received a $200,000 direct payment from his brother James Biden and sister-in-law Sarah Biden, and is demanding the president answer questions about financial arrangements with members of his family. James Comer, Republican of Kentucky, has been leading an investigation into the Biden family's business dealings since January and whether President Joe Biden was involved in those ventures or personally benefited from them. Comer in September issued 3 subpoenas for the personal and business bank accounts belonging to both Hunter Biden and James Biden. Comer, in a video posted on X, formerly known as Twitter, detailing his committee's latest findings, Comer said the check was written by James Biden to President Joe Biden as a loan repayment, but questioned the timing. Bank records obtained by the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability have revealed a $200,000 direct payment from James Biden and Sarah Biden to Joe Biden in the form of a personal check. Comer explains that in 2018, James Biden received $600,000 in loans from AmeriCorps, a financially distressed and failing rural hospital operator. According to bankruptcy court documents, James Biden received these loans based upon representations that his last name, Biden, could open doors and that he could obtain a large investment from the Middle East based on his political connections. On 1st of March 2018, AmeriCorps Health LLC wired a $200,000 loan into James and Sarah Biden's personal bank account, not their business bank account, James Comer said. And then, on the very same day, James Biden wrote a $200,000 check from his same personal bank account to his brother, Joe Biden. The New York Post has also covered the same story and tells us more. President Biden received a $200,000 check in 2018 from his younger brother James, on the same day that he received the same amount from a U.S. hospital chain by promising to secure a Middle East investor, bank records obtained by Congress show. This summer, Joe Biden said, "Where's the money?" Well, we found some, House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer said in a video posted on Friday afternoon, 20th of October, to X, formerly known as Twitter. James Comer said that James Biden wrote the check to his powerful brother as a loan repayment without providing further context. Even if this was a personal loan repayment, it's still troubling that Joe Biden's ability to be paid back by his brother depended on the success of his family's shady financial dealings, the chairman, James Comer, said. James Biden received a total of $600,000 in loans from the since-defunct rural hospital operator AmeriCorps Health in 2018. The firm's bankruptcy trustee said in July of 2022 court filing that James Biden procured the $600,000 in loans from AmeriCorps based upon representations that his last name, Biden, could open up doors and that he could open a large investment from the Middle East based on his political connections. The records do not specify which Middle Eastern country James Biden was courting, though he was involved in a different business relationship relating to Saudi Arabia at around the same time. It's unclear what progress James Biden made towards securing the foreign funds before AmeriCorps filed for bankruptcy in 2019. James Biden received an initial $400,000 tranche from AmeriCorps on 12th of January 2018 and the latter $200,000 which was sent to Joe Biden on 1st of March of that year. The transfer to Joe Biden, who was not in elected office at the time, could be the strongest evidence to date that the 80-year-old president benefited financially from his involvement in his relative's business dealings. Joe Biden claimed in 2019, while a presidential candidate, that he had never discussed with my son or my brother anything having to do with their businesses. But significant evidence has since emerged that he regularly interacted with his relatives' partners from countries like China and Ukraine.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Aruba Shabit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Members of the Islamic movement in Nigeria held a peaceful protest after Friday prayers at the National Mosque in the capital, Abuja. The demonstrators chanted slogans condemning the Israeli attacks on Gaza, which has resulted in the killing of thousands of Palestinians. They further condemned the Western refusal to call for a ceasefire and the support that the United States and European countries give to the Israelis. The demonstrators say they fully support the Palestinians.
The Islamic movement has been calling for justice for the Palestinians for more than four decades. It's not just now that the Islamic movement started. The Islamic movement started from the beginning. It's one of the frontiers of calling for justice.
Be free, Palestine!
The demonstrators expressed solidarity with the people of Palestine, but regretted that many people still do not understand the motives of the Israelis, who have continued to oppress the Palestinians for several decades. They explained that the occupation of Palestinian lands and the systematic murder of innocent people, including women and children, is part of a grand plan of the Zionists.
Some people are still saying Israelis are acting on defense. What defense? Yesterday, if you feel they are killing Muslims, yesterday they went and destroyed a church of 1,600 years. They have destroyed it yesterday. Today, they have attacked another mosque of 1,400 years of existence. So they are killing Muslim, Christian, whoever they see, they kill him. It's Zionism that is fighting humanity.
Meanwhile, Muslim organizations under the Supreme Council for Sharia in Nigeria have condemned Israelis' genocide in the Gaza Strip. They also called on the Nigerian government to urgently review its relations with the regime. Danjum Abdullahi, Abuja.
Yemenis have taken to the streets for the second day in a row to show their solidarity with Palestinians as Israel continues its brutal attacks on the Gaza Strip. During the demonstration, protesters also praised the latest military actions, which targeted U.S. military assets in the region. According to reports, three missiles, which were launched from Yemen, targeted U.S. Navy warships in the Red Sea. This was also followed by other attacks on the U.S. military bases in Iraq and Syria in recent days.
I would like to send a message to the people of Gaza. By will of Allah, we are not going to enjoy food or drink without fighting alongside you. We are calling on the leaders to open the borders so we can join you in jihad.
From here in Yemen, I would like to send a message to the Zionist occupiers and aggressors. We will not allow you to get away with your crimes. We are coming for you. You will certainly see us soon in a place where you had hoped never to see us.
The Ansarullah government has not yet confirmed that it was behind the aerial attacks. However, the leader of Yemen's revolution, Sayyid Abdel Malik al-Houthi, had said in the past that U.S. military assets would be targeted if the country joins the war against